Hello, and welcome to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. Today's topic, why parents spank their children and why John, what are you doing?
Beep, beep.
Stop, beep, please.
Beep, beep.
John, stop beep, right now.
Beep.
Or I will.
Beep.
John.
You will what?
I will turn off your microphone.
Beep. Let me just check in with you. How are you feeling, Sarah?
You know, John, I knew you were going to do this, and I'm still annoyed.
Yeah. I knew I could get you to be annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about humans and parents is we have emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have thoughts. We have behaviors. They often go together. And when parents are faced with child behavior, like beep, 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 that persists and it is not easily stopped, then parents can't help but have an emotional reaction and thoughts and behavioral impulses. You know what I mean?
Yes. They often include anger and annoyance.
Have you ever felt that as a parent?
I have a couple times. It makes me remember this kind of funny story. You might not know this, but my son, when he was born, was the most beautiful, spectacular baby that ever lived. You probably don't know that.
I expected that to be the case, yeah.
And I can remember like it was yesterday that I was holding him and looking at him. Oh my gosh. And he was so perfect. And I had a friend who was visiting who had a four-year-old at the time. And you know, mm-hmm. four-year-olds are known for their out-of-bounds exuberant behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd been around the block. She was a little more seasoned as a parent than I was. And she looked at me and was watching me watch my baby and started laughing at me. And I said, "What's so funny?" And she said, "You have no idea how much your baby is going to annoy you one day." And I remember thinking, I was a little irritated with her. It's mm-hmm. like, no way. My mm-hmm. baby is not going to irritate me.
But it turned out she was right.
She was so right.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things in my years as the director of Families First, one thing that was amazing was how often parents would come in and say, "I cannot believe how angry I feel about this baby, this child, this toddler, this teenager who I just love like crazy, but I get so mad."
Oh my gosh, it's this paradox, right? Because it's this person that you love more than anything,
mm-hmm.
and they elicit these huge feelings in us that you just would think they wouldn't go together.
Yeah. So when the emotion is anger, and we know that it's easy for children to trigger anger in their parents, some of the thoughts that go along with that are things like, "What's wrong with him?"
Mm-hmm.
Or, "I need to teach her a lesson that she will not soon forget."
Yeah. And that drives us to have this really big impulse to do something, to react, to feel powerful again.
Yeah. And so we have the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We have the thoughts. "I need to stop this. I need to teach a lesson." And then we have the behavioral impulse. And the impulse is to get the child's misbehavior to return to order, mm-hmm. or to return to compliance, to get John to stop beeping.
Right. Because we're in charge.
Right.
Yeah. So it's perfectly natural for me to get into an emotionally angry and disturbed state and then feel the impulse to do something, to make the beeping stop.
Right. Yeah. So you've got that impulse. You want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is,
I act on my impulse.
Okay. And your action is,
I turn off your microphone.
Okay. That's with me. And either then I comply, right?
Right.
Even in this situation, I comply. Or maybe I start yelling. Maybe I push you away from your microphone. Right? And then I beep into your microphone. And then what do you do?
I just leave.
And then I follow you. And I just keep chasing you around. I remember hearing from parents who were having trouble with their kids. And so they tried to put themselves in timeout. And the mm-hmm. kid will chase them around the house,
mm-hmm.
grabbing, annoying, hitting, doing all kinds of things. And so even when you're taking a reasonable parenting action to resolve the situation, some kind of misbehavior can still continue.
Yeah. And at some point or another, depending on how much sleep I've gotten, the mood that I'm in, how well I've planned and rehearsed, how much support I have from my corporate. I mean, there's so many variables that undergird all of this, my own family history, other factors. I might blow up and yell or use spanking as a
right.
way to remedy the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Not unusual. Somewhere between 60 to 80% of parents spank. In one poll, 84% of kids had been spanked at mm-hmm. least once by the time they turned 18.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
So it's not unusual. But one of the things that I want to try to point out in this podcast is a very unhealthy pattern gets established if you begin to escalate and you get emotionally upset and then you get those thoughts and you get those impulses and then you hit me, mm-hmm. spank, mm-hmm. maybe you slap me across the face because I have said something that is a smart mouth sarcastic thing that I shouldn't say, mm-hmm. then I stop.
Yeah, and I have this huge emotional relief because right. I've done something, I've kind of released all of my anger. And then the behavior stops.
Yes.
I mean, it's quite a powerful reinforcing feedback loop for myself.
And there's a fair amount of science on this. Mm-hmm. And the science really comes originally from a guy named B.F. Skinner, mm-hmm. famous behaviorist. And he said this is one of the most powerful reward scenarios. When there is an aversive stimulus, the child is the aversive stimulus, mm-hmm. and then you take an action of one sort or another, and make the aversive stimulus stop. It's highly rewarding. It's mm-hmm. highly gratifying and satisfying. And it makes it way more likely that that kind of action will be taken again and again.
Yeah. What are some examples that you have?
So other than the obnoxious behavior of your child, the seatbelt beeping, mm-hmm. right? Most people, when they hear the seatbelt beeping, they, after a while, they feel desperate to plug their seatbelt in mm-hmm. because they're just sick of that darn beeping.
Yeah, it stops the annoyance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So some others would be smoking.
Especially if people use smoking to deal with negative emotions. Mm-hmm. And I know some people do that, some people don't. But if you go out and have a cigarette because you're angry or disturbed or distressed in some way, that really reinforces the use of the cigarette to manage emotions.
Yeah, and the same with alcohol and other drugs,
right?
Sometimes cutting.
Mm-hmm.
They become powerful because they alleviate an aversive emotional or physical state.
Okay. Now, so a big point today is that instead of automatically falling into a pattern of negative reinforcement where we are trying to get that aversive behavior to stop and we're using yelling mm-hmm. or hitting, mm-hmm. spanking,
yep.
okay, or some kind of administration of pain, which is really the definition of corporal punishment.
Yeah.
Instead, we need to use better alternatives because if we get in that pattern, it tends to escalate. I need to hit a little harder, or maybe I need to give 3 swats instead of 2. And those things happen, and it can lead down the road to some more abusive interactions.
Mm-hmm. So we do need alternatives. And we've talked about positive discipline alternatives before, but today we should also look at the science on spanking. I mean, it works. It works in the moment, right? But isn't it true that when parents spank their kids, the kids stop misbehaving?
It is true.
Yeah.
That's a really robust scientific effect.
Yeah.
It's like, spank your kid, they stop misbehaving. Parents report that,
mm-hmm.
and it's been observed. And so even though that's true, that's one positive outcome or association with spanking.
And there's a lot more to the story.
There's much more to the story. We're going to hear the voice of Chris Carter. He is a former NFL wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. This is from a clip in 2014, right after Adrian Peterson, also of the Minnesota Vikings, had gotten in some serious trouble for child abuse, in particular, using a switch to spank his child and causing some damage mm-hmm. and bleeding and terrible things
like
that.
Lots of harm to that kid, yeah.
And so this is Chris Carter. He's speaking during an NFL ESPN broadcast.
This goes across all racial lines, ethnicities, religious backgrounds. People believe in discipline in their children. People with any type of Christian background, they really believe in discipline in their children. My mom did the best job she could do, raising 7 kids by herself. But there are thousands of things that I have learned since then that my mom was wrong.
Yes. Thank you.
It's the 21st century. My mom was wrong. She did the best she could, but she was wrong about some of that stuff she taught me. And I promise my kids I won't teach that mess to them. You can't beat the kid to make them do what they want to do.
Right.
Sarah, what's your reaction to hearing that?
It's a pretty powerful message. You know, one of the things that stood out to me was that we've learned 1,000 things since his mom was raising him.
Right. The message, I think, is he experienced corporal punishment. He experienced spanking in one form or another. And he's saying, we've learned a lot. He's not going to put that mess on his children.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of the fact we have learned a lot. And in one of the landmark studies on corporal punishment, a woman named Elizabeth Gershoff in 2002, now that's 15 years ago, she published a meta-analysis where she looked at 11 different variables and how spanking affected them. And spanking had one positive outcome, and that's the outcome we already mentioned.
Yeah, it works in the moment.
It works in the moment. But there are 10 other things associated with spanking. And so how about we just go back and forth, and you mention one, then I'll mention one.
All right, so here's one, decreased moral internalization. And I guess what I would say about that is we want kids to do what's right even when no one is watching. And that means that their morals come from inside and not from a fear of a spank.
Absolutely. Not because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, but instead they behave because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
The second one is increased child aggression. And that's a pretty obvious one, right? You model something, you model hitting to resolve things, it's more likely that your children will use hitting to try to resolve things.
Yeah, and I'm just going to add here that in our work with Families First, we worked with lots of parents, and I had a lot of parents that came in and said, you know, I was referred to you because my child's been hitting on the playground. And when we got into it and started talking, spanking was a common form of discipline. And the parents figured out on their own real quick that, oh, I'm teaching them that when we get frustrated or we don't like something, we hit another person. And that's what they were seeing their kids do on the playground. But it was interesting. It took them a little bit to make that connection.
Yeah, I'm going to confess something here. One time with one of our girls, my wife and I slapped her hand because she was quite a grabby little girl. And she, being the kind of girl she was and still is, slapped our hands right back.
Good for her.
We stopped.
Yeah. Another one is that it increases child delinquent and antisocial behavior.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That's huge. And so your kid's more likely to get in legal trouble, really, and that's associated with spanking. Number four is there's a decreased quality in the relationship between parent and child.
Yeah. What I think is interesting about this one is I think from a parent's perspective, it might seem like they have a close relationship because they're wielding power over their kid, but really the connection and the respect isn't there.
Power is not respect.
Right.
Compliance is not necessarily respect. You can do what your parent says and still have some angry, disrespectful feelings inside, right?
But I can see why for some parents it feels that way. Even though it's not, that it feels like they're using their power and getting more respect.
But what's linked to spanking is that the kids are feeling or reporting worse quality relationships with their parents.
Yeah. So another one is decreased child mental health. So children are experiencing more depression, more anxiety, more oppositional defiant disorder.
Exactly. And I notice I'm numbering mine. So mine is number six.
Okay.
And that's increased risk of being a victim of physical abuse. In families where spanking happens, then children are at increased risk for being a victim of physical abuse.
Because they experience that abuse as normal, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And some people with whom I've worked have said, I felt like I deserved it. Somehow they felt like they deserved to be hit.
So number seven, an increase in adult aggression. So that aggression really gets desensitized, I think. So we have more aggression as a kid. We are experiencing aggression. We're displaying aggression. We grow up. And then as an adult, we have more aggression. The patterns really stick.
We really know that from the research, that aggression is a very tough behavior to change. It's what we call a stable behavior over time. All right, number eight, increased adult criminal and antisocial behavior.
Yeah, we don't want to go there.
Wow. And we don't know why, right? But one possible hypothesis is that maybe they have not internalized those ethical or moral standards, and so instead they get themselves in trouble. It's almost like they have to bump into the negative consequences in order for them to realize that they are doing something that's wrong or that infringes on the rights of other people.
Yeah. So here's number nine, decreased adult mental health. So again, just like we were saying with kids, is that these kids grow up and have more depression, more anxiety, and sometimes post-traumatic stress.
So those things continue over time. And number 10, increased risk of abusing your own child or spouse. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And it really becomes a process of, and you know, the research is people can spank and they can continue to spank and they cannot be bad parents and it will not always lead to abuse. But the research also suggests that there is that tendency to need to up the ante a little bit. It's like, it's a little bit like a drug where you need just a little more to have the effect. And so that's one of the reasons why spanking can, in some cases, progressively lead to child abuse.
Yeah. Okay, so we've listed 10 reasons based on scientific research, right? Our listeners might have more reasons. They might want to argue with some of these. We might be aware that evidence supporting these 10 negative outcomes associated with corporal punishment has continued to accumulate over the last 15 years, so there's even more research.
Yeah. It is so significant. Now there's a group of researchers who are suggesting that spanking be listed as an adverse childhood event that leads to later kinds of mental health problems.
And it's been banned in 32 countries.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You just surprised me with that fact. Cool.
I like to do that.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So surprised that I'm going to say it's now time for the money tips. Ching. And this is the place in the podcast where we give out tips that are so good. It's like handing out $100 bills. Just like that.
Exactly.
Nobody's down here in this basement where we're recording accepting the $100 bills, but it's just like that.
It's the same thing. Yep.
My money tip is that spanking is like using cigarettes and alcohol, drugs, or cutting to feel better. It can make you feel better in the short term, but it's not a healthy long-term behavior. And so what I'm saying here is let's develop alternative strategies, because it's not a good long-term strategy. If you don't take my word for it, take Chris Carter's word for it. He's an NFL Hall of Fame guy. Or take B.F. Skinner's word for it. He said punishment is something that produces erratic behavior in animals and humans, and we should avoid it. Take Alfred Adler's word for it, a famous and amazing psychologist. So take Sarah Polinchek's word for
it. Yeah. So my tip would be that let's say we have a listener who's listening to this podcast saying, I'm no longer going to spank. That is great, but it's not enough. What we need our listeners to do is to replace that behavior and to plan ahead and know what you're going to do instead, because you have to know you're going to get triggered again. You're going to get annoyed and angry again. It's going to happen. You're going to have a lot more opportunity. And spending a few minutes in advance imagining that scenario, what is your button that gets pushed really easily and makes you want to react? And what is an alternative, hopefully from one of our positive discipline episodes, that you can choose to do instead? So you have to have that replacement behavior planned out in advance.
Yeah. The beauty of anger is it's coming back around.
And
you can deal with it better next time.
Well, I would say that's the beauty of
parenting.
Beep. Wow, John.
Beep.
Okay.
Beep.
Remember what will happen when you make that sound.
Beep.
I will
beep.
Turn off your microphone.
Beep. Beep.
Okay,
beep.
Mike, cut
beep.
John's audio.
Beep.
Sorry, John.
Okay, it's time to talk about resources. Here's my recommendation. I think since all of our listeners are already enjoying podcasts, clearly, because they're listening to ours, that they find a parenting mindfulness podcast to listen to, and there are lots and lots of them out there. I think it's important to listen to a few and find someone's voice and someone's style that feels right to them. I also want to add that mindfulness and practicing mindfulness with children running around doesn't always work. So I would say just bring your kids into the whole experience, because it's a good skill to teach to our kids as well. Why aren't you talking? Oh, John. Okay, John has a recommendation too, but he has to have the microphone turned back on. If you promise to stick to your recommendation and not make inappropriate sounds, you're allowed back in. Can you do it?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. My recommendation is that parents do what Sarah just did. Say what you'll do. Say what the consequences are going to be. Mm-hmm. And then do what you said.
The follow through. Yeah.
Follow through. Mm-hmm. But don't say wild things like you're going to be grounded forever, or that you're going to hit them, or those kinds of things. Say small things like you're going to take the microphone away. That's a good consequence. It's a natural consequence. There's also no better book on this than a book by Alan Kasdan, former president of the American Psychological Association. He's really clear about the science. He provides really solid guidance on how to do things other than spank, like timeout, and how to do it right. And he's really fascinating in the way that he writes about timeout. And the way he writes about it will really be different than a lot of people have heard about it.
Good.
His book is The Kasdan Method for Parenting the Defiant Child. You can find it on any kind of website
that Great.
Sells books.
Okay, so it's time for us to sign off.
Thank you, Sarah, for modeling how to handle a challenging behavior in your co-podcaster. That was awesome. I needed to be shut down.
You did. I'm going to do that again to you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with more to help you become practically perfect parents. The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Englehart Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.